The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Christ Mass is past, thank God, we're beyond that season execrable. The solstice is past, that darkness damnable. Now the eyes of the world, the hopes of the world are on one man, the Lord's President, Jair Bolsonaro. The government rests upon his shoulders, upon him rest the keys of David. What he opens, no man will shut, and what he shuts, no man will open. Will he lie down and allow the wicked to rule? If he does, South America becomes a communist, continental super state right out of George Orwell's 1984, according to commentator Matthew Tiermond. Let us hope and pray that he will stand, for God is able to make him stand, Romans 14, verse 4. While we pray to that end, I've got a great black sheep show for you. Gospel gunslinger Johnny Rowland is going to come interview, tell us about his shooting irons, and even sing us some tunes. After we kick it off with some rock and roll in this dark season, in this loneliest of all seasons, in the statistical height of suicide, and especially for those of us who have lost all for the sake of the gospel. We've lost all for having addicted ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like George Thorogood here sings, I Drink Alone.
up on me, and it makes me feel oh so bad. The only one who'll hang out with me is my dear old granddad. And we drink alone. Yeah, with nobody else. Yeah, you know when I drink alone, I prefer to be by myself. Alone. I prefer to be by myself. I drink alone.
The Bible says of the house of Stephanas, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, 1 Corinthians 16:15. All of my years in construction, I proclaimed that I had never met a roofer without a vice, myself included. And perhaps mine is the worst vice of all, to be a black sheep, to be of the outcalled, to be of the Lord's peculiar people. Well, you also can be one of them. Welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from cartel country, from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. Believers of the world, of the Americas, do you feel at all like Thurgood in this dark hour? For your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, he sings, "My whole family done gave up on me, and it makes me feel oh so bad. The only one that'll still hang out with me is my dear old granddad." He's talking about whiskey, of course. But this is where we press into our faith, our spirits. We call on the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We drink from the brook in the way. And often, we do it alone. Yeah, with nobody else. I admit, I confess that January is the time of year more than any other that I prune the tree, that I kick to the curb all non-hackers unfit to serve in my beloved corps, that I get rid of non-contributing hangers-on, that I sever and cast into the fire every branch that produces no fruit. My mentor, Brother Clay Sonmore, cleaned out his desk once a year, cleaned up his mailing list. Anyone that he had not heard from in a year, he removed, and yeah, that meant co-laborers and it meant prayer partners, but it means centrally donors who contributed to the work and who had not contributed to the work. This may well be my last show, and maybe I have accomplished my mission in initiating war throughout the Americas, initiating a violent resistance to tyranny and a violent resistance to Chinese conquest. On the other hand, maybe the Americas at war would like to know the Lord's counsel and would like to have his battle plan. This is our 16th week broadcasting on Living by the Sword, and in 8 weeks, that's 2 full months, I have not paid $1 to either of my shortwave stations. And those managers are listening to this message right now. They know what I owe them and could pull the plug on me today. Maybe I'll pull the plug first. If it's not important enough for you, the audience, to help to be rebuild conservative journalism from exile in Mexico, have you figured it out yet that nobody else is going to save your nation? You have to stand up. Even Bolsonaro, he will stand up when you stand up. I've asked every week that you visit GospelGunslingers.com and click that donate button, something that anyone can do. But now I'm telling you, unless somebody gets a ticket to Mexico City and comes to visit me with a pocket full of lettuce, and I mean this week, Merry Christmas, that this will likely be your very last freeloading radio broadcast on my borrowed radio time. Here is the counsel of God. Doth not your master pay tribute? Oh, this was the trick bag that they tried to put the Lord Jesus in. Does your master pay taxes? Does he not pay? Yeah, it's the end of the year and the boot licking has begun. Everyone's jumping through hoops and bending over and grabbing their ankles so that they can avoid getting their door knocked by one of the 87,000 new American IRS agents installed by the Biden administration. Bidenflation has already cost every American who has assets, depending on their class of assets, maybe only a third. maybe only 30% of what they've worked for their whole life, paid interest, paid tribute, and now they've got this little nest egg together, and here in 2 years, how much of it's gone? A lot of times, it's half. A lot of times, it's half. When are you going to stand up? When are you going to do something other than lick that jackboot? Because I'll tell you what, even in the conservative media, that's what's going on right now. People still think that they're going to get out of this situation peaceably. They still think that if they just bend over a little more and bite that pillow a little bit harder, that they'll be allowed by the jackboots to go on. No, 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 no. I'm going to read to you how Jesus answers this very tricky question. It's here in the book of Matthew, 17th chapter, and Jesus' answer is in the 26th verse. Peter saith unto him, of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. And then Jesus does give Peter instructions to go throw out a line into the water, catch a fish, and look at its mouth for a coin to pay Peter's tax and Jesus' tax for the temple. Now, this was in a godly nation where they paid for the Levitical priesthood. Now, don't miss what the Lord Jesus is saying here in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. Even though he uses a little bit of Aesopian language, he says, now are the children free, that the believer, that the sons of God are in this world to be free men, not enslaved, not shackled, not with someone's boot on their neck, our neck, and not tributaries subject to taxation. Maybe it's time for a new Boston Tea Party by a new Samuel Adams and a new generation of Sons of Liberty. If you don't want to stand up, that's okay. Do what Jesus taught. Flee persecution. Liquidate and evacuate. Just understand the time is now, that they will come for the other half of your stuff, and they will come for your children. The Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, that is, ripped your nation away from you, said the prophet to King Saul. Well, how about you? Do you want to have your nation and your flag ripped away from you? Let's learn how to not have that happen right here in the Bible in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I am Pastor Sam. We're in 1 Samuel 28 and the 18th verse. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Said actually the ghost of Samuel the prophet, or the apparition of the spirit of Samuel the prophet, because Samuel himself would not go and visit Saul. It's right here in chapter 17 and verse 35, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Wow, the evil government tried to lay hands on Samuel the prophet, the king actually grabbing him and ripping his vesture. Then Samuel went and crossed the Rio Grande and would not come home. But aside from laying his great big overgrown Tony Robbins fingers on the prophet's mantle, what did Saul do before that that caused him to lose the kingdom? He decided he'd be nice. He decided he'd turn the other cheek. He decided he'd let Lula da Silva live. Let's read. First the instruction, 15:3, 1 Samuel. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness. Then the Kenites departed, and Saul begins his special military operation to denazify the land. Here we are, verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What? Alive? What, for a civil trial? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. So see, he actually went in and killed all the people, but he saved the king, Agag. Verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. See, they were supposed to exterminate not only old and young, but also the cattle. No, you have to do like President Bukele and destroy the gravestones and the Nazi symbolism that is on them. Verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You also will lose your nation after winning the revolution, if in the end you do not execute the Lord's fierce wrath upon the guilty. Hey, it's Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. Now, we always say that, and everybody always wonders who else is in the shadows. If there's a rifleman behind every bush, like in the old cowboy movies, backing us up. And in this case, there actually is. We have got one of the greats. We have got one. You know, people ask me if I am the founder of the Gospel Gunslingers, if this is an idea that I got into my own Bible and cooked up, and I say sometimes, well, yes, along with George Washington. You see, this is an old idea. This is an idea that our nation, the United States of America, and really all freedom in the New World comes from our forefathers, people like George Washington, Ben Franklin, who was really a good friend of Miguel Hidalgo and was in cooperation with the inception of freedom movements in Latin America. And even today, we've got the same thing going on. And today with me on the show is one of my heroes. It's Johnny Rowland. And he's an inventor. He is in law enforcement, and he is, let me tell you, we're gospel gunslingers, right? Well, Johnny sings gospel music, and I'm going to play some of his tunes for you, and we've got Johnny with us right now on the phone. I'll just let him say hello. How you doing, Johnny?
Well, absolutely, Sam. I certainly appreciate the opportunity of being here. I really appreciate what you're doing, sir.
Thank you. We're getting out there with the Word of God, and I'll tell you what, we're also providing advice to all of Latin America on how to take their nations back. And let me tell you, they need to get back into the Bible, something that presidents have stood up and done and gone to prison for. Janine Añez Chávez sent in the military to try to take down the narco dictatorship in Bolivia, and she's in the gulag today. And so we've got fallen soldiers, we've got people in prison that have tried to go in and enforce the law, and so now's the time that we really need to be teaching. This is how we take our nations back. And so I appreciate you being with me, Johnny, and just telling us a little bit about yourself and about your fine, fine weapons.
Well, I appreciate that, Sam. Yeah, I host a shooting show television program, which is available. You can find them on YouTube, put in Johnny Rowland Shooting Show. And we did 500 shows in this series, and about 400 of them are available today on YouTube through one of our generous long-time viewers took the time to put them up there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Really appreciate that.
Now you have to spell Rowland, R-O-W-L-A-N-D. So don't forget the double V when you put in the name of the famous hero, Rowland. And if you get on YouTube, you'll also hear, I'm going to tell a little secret on you and about my show. All of the gunshots that you hear on my show, that is Johnny shooting his Magnum pistols.
Well, good. For good purpose. Some might know me from the 460 Rowland line of guns and ammunition. Gives 44 Magnum horsepower to the 1911 and the Glock pistol. And then we have one called the 960, which we've done the same thing with the 9mm cartridge. We've given it 357 Magnum horsepower in a 9mm platform. They'll tear the guns up, and these have been very successful for us worldwide. And you know, Sam, you and I were talking a moment ago. We really would like to get in production on ammunition and guns in Latin America, in Central America, South America. And let's put call out. If someone, you can Google 460 Rowland or 960 Rowland, you'll get all kinds of information. But we would absolutely be thrilled to work with countries in Mexico or Central America. South America, we can improve the police and military armaments, and then we have a market for these worldwide. So if somebody just contacts Sam, you know, that's the thing. Contact you, Sam. What do you think?
fantastic. Anyone can reach out to me in the Spanish language on Telegram or on gospelgunslingers.com, and we'll figure out a way to legally and lawfully get your country set up. All these Latin American nations are on the rise. We're seeing, from the left and from the right, we're seeing new governments that want to root out evil, confront transnational criminal organizations, get rid of human trafficking and drug trafficking. Johnny, you just live a rifle shot away from the U.S.-Mexico border, and you know that there's trafficking going on.
Probably closer to a baseball hit. I'm a pretty regular. I cross the border regularly over into Mexico several times. In Mexico, one, I have a great dentist there. And have friends there, great admiration for the Mexican people, for the Hispanic people in general, which I have my own Hispanic roots myself. So, if people don't understand what we on both sides go through on the border, and we invite people, you know, come down and take a look and just see for yourself. And, you know, we've seen heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking video of people who have been advertised to come to America, get all these things, crossing the Rio Grande River in below freezing temperatures.
A lot of them die. There's people that drown in the Rio Grande River. And I think what you're saying, Johnny, is that there needs to not be any enmity between the United States and Mexico, the U.S. and Guatemala, the U.S. and El Salvador, the U.S. and Peru, but that there are transnational criminal organizations that are forcing human beings into a dangerous and deadly situation, and crossing the border is only one of them. I think that's what I'm hearing from you.
No, and I certainly agree. However, and these criminal organizations are terrible, but are they worse than the global who put a pandemic hoax on us and are directly responsible for the outright killing, murder, you will, of millions of innocents worldwide through these terrible, through these jabs, these imitation vaccines? What about them? We used to talk about how Mexico was, and some of the Latin American countries were corrupt. Look at what we got here in our country. You could not find a more corrupt place on earth than Washington, D.C.
So government corruption is right there with transnational criminal organizations. And someone famously said, you can't have an underworld without an overworld, that there has to be corrupt government officials in charge in order to support and have mafia activity, mob activity, gang activity, and transnational criminal organization activity. And that's why I sometimes wear the outlaw hat. I'm a refugee in Mexico. This is where I sometimes have to say, all right, I have had to flee government corruption. And let me just speak as an outlaw for a moment about your guns. You know, Clyde Champion Barrow of the famous Bonnie and Clyde duo, he wrote a letter to Henry Ford, and he said, I've driven Ford V8s exclusively, circumstances permitting, which, of course, he was stealing them, right? He was stealing the V8 Fords, and if he could get his hands on a V8 Ford, it just provided the most horsepower and muscle to get away. And so, this
that's
is...
That's a real letter, by the way.
Yes, it is, and it's been for years on the Nevada-California border, where that letter's on display with the Bonnie and Clyde car, which was a Ford V8 that got all shot up. But I want to tell you a little secret, Johnny. In my flight against government corruption, a lot of the reason that I'm still here today, that I'm broadcasting from exile, is because all the troublemakers within the U.S. government knew that I ran a .460 Roland pistol. Did you know that, Johnny? That the fellow that registered me my pistol wrote right on there, converted to .460 Roland. And so every troublemaker, with a badge or without, especially those with badges that could get into the government records, see, they knew that I had a gun that had more energy in the gun than five fully loaded government model 1911 45s.
everybody knew that I had the famous weapon. Before that, I ran 5.7 millimeter Fabrique National, and before that, I ran 7.62 by 25 millimeter Tokarev. And so, for a long time, I had personally run weapons, just concealed carry, legal and lawful, on a daily basis, that would penetrate all known body armor up to a military hard plate. And then when I went to the 460 Roland, this is the preferred weapon of security contractors in all the sandbox who not only have to deal with gunmen as threats, but they have to deal with coked up suicide bombers. People that have a vest, and they know that they're going to die. They know that they'll probably take shots coming in. And all they have to do is get close enough to detonate that device. And those fellers that do that kind of contracting learned that the 460 Roland will put a guy like that down in one shot. I like Johnny's personal carry, the 185 grain, but a lot of those fellers out there in the sandbox run Johnny's duty round, the 230 grain hollow point, and both of those are really right at 1,000 foot-pounds of energy. So all it takes is one hit from that, whether a guy's got armor on, whether he's got a suicide vest, a lot of times they drop right there on the spot. And this is, I'm just telling you, that Johnny Rowland saved my life, that this is the reason that I'm here today and that I've got your gunshots on my show, on my Bible verse of the day, every day, it's you shooting, because I'm here because I had a strong enough defense that all troublemakers knew that they may not make it out if they came to get me.
Ground is shaking, hear our brothers ride battlefields of old. Let us join them, they're getting closer. Let's free our land and take back our homes. Distant thunder from a once great nation. Land of honor, proud and free. Distant thunder, the call of freedom. We'll again have liberty. Our country, but we turned away from his righteous cause. Join our struggle, his grace will save us. Remember those who gave their all. A distant thunder from a once great nation. Land of honor, proud and free. Distant thunder, the call of freedom. We'll again have liberty. We'll have liberty.
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar.
You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
That was a tune with a gospel feel by Johnny Rowland. Rounding out the top of the hour, my interview with him continues on the other side, followed by Johnny's song, My Name is Freedom. It's equally about America. It's about standing up for our rights, but it's got more of a rock feel. He's got the electric guitar, more of a Les Paul sound, and the groovy saxophone. I did that on purpose, playing Johnny up near George Thorogood so that you can hear how much of a rock feel, just like the Delaware Destroyers, Johnny Rowland's got. He is a gospel gunslinger if there ever was one. I thank him for showing off his soft heart in that earlier song, Distant Thunder, because Johnny is a teddy bear. I tell you, if you see him, you wouldn't think he had that soft heart. He's got these enormous, meaty hands that he shoots his pistols with. Now, I don't. Despite all my years in construction and contracting, I have lady hands. My hands are small, they're not muscular, and I'll tell you what, I have no problem shooting his Magnum cartridges, and all of you lady law officers out there, I think you're going to love 460 Roland, or even better, 960 Roland. With the 960 Roland, you keep the full ammunition capacity of your high-cap, double-stack 9mm pistol. Only every round coming out of the barrel has 700 foot-pounds of energy. That's right, 357 Magnum energy out of your high-capacity 9mm. Giving you 2.5 times the energy, 2.5 times the firepower, shot for shot, mag for mag, as the bad guys on the other side. That is an advantage that you need. So here's Johnny's gunshots once more to the Bible about a touch from the Lord, and then we'll come right back to Johnny on the other side. What if you fight for your nation? What if you take a stand? And what if you discover who the Lord Jesus really is? The terrifying sight. What if he's transfigured before you? What if you see the heavens shake and hear the voice of God from heaven and the rocks split? Y retiemble de sus centros la tierra. What if all that happens? What if God rises up to help you, that his enemies will be scattered? Well, you will experience the terror of his presence. And this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. The Lord Jesus is going to have to touch you. There's a lot of people right now that need a touch from God. They've already taken their stand, and they're at the place where the cavalry's got to arrive. They lift up their eyes to the hills from whence their help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord. And when the help of the Lord comes, this is the touch from the Lord. Let's read Matthew 17, verse 7. And Jesus came and touched the fearful disciples, that is. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." Very similar to what happened with the Lord Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Jesus is the Lord of the storm. He reigns over the wind and the raging waves of the sea. And arguably, that is when we need the Lord the most, is in those times of war and battle, and when the tempest is raging, when the storm is raging against the wicked. This is why the unbelieving world has an infatuation with the Christmas Jesus. You know, there was no room in the inn, and he had to have his swaddling clothes to change his diapers. This is why there's an infatuation with the I've had diarrhea since Easter's Jesus, the beaten up Jesus, the bleeding Jesus, the Jesus struggling under the weight of the cross. Well, what happens when we say, rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and lo and behold, he answers our prayer. Well, not only is it terrifying, and not only does awful wrath break forth against the wicked, you also will find yourself in the presence of the living God. Amos says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I say to you, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet your God who is the consuming fire. Prepare to meet the creator of the universe, before whom the waves of the sea rage and before whom the seas are stilled. Little flock, little children, in the presence of the Lord's wrath and the glory of his presence, when you fall on your face and are sore afraid, Jesus will come and touch you.
Well, it's an idea whose time has come, and this is a 45 ACP cartridge that's elongated. You can shoot your 1911 45, your Glock 45. There are many brands that require very little internal change to shoot the 460 Roland cartridge, and then all of a sudden, you have 3 to 4 times the energy in the gun. You don't have to carry more ammunition. You don't have to carry a bigger gun or more guns. You've got more energy in the gun. This is just me walking through the streets, driving down the road like Johnny is right now talking to us, going down those American highways, and I had more energy in my gun than 5 fully loaded government models back in the day. Isn't that amazing? I've been watching these episodes of Wanted Dead or Alive with Steve McQueen. So, I was born in the 70s. That was before my time. But, boy, I'm having fun watching those. And his gun in the Wanted Dead or Alive series, a guy who's down, he's technically a bounty hunter, but he's really a hired gun that takes cases that he feels are worthwhile. And so, it's kind of like you and me running the borderlands, right? and taking all comers. I'm living in cartel country. And listen, by faith and by prayer, now you're going to hear some of Johnny's gospel music coming right up. By prayer and by faith, number one, we are changing the environment in these places. But then, after the brush fire goes over, legitimate law enforcement comes up. Dr. Americo Villarreal is the new governor of Tamaulipas State, that famous cartel stronghold. He has built... Really, he's disbanding the state police, and he's building a state guard, and that state guard, they need to be running your guns, Johnny. But back to Wanted Dead or Alive, Steve McQueen is running a cut-down rifle, and this is where the whole fad, I wondered where it came from, of the mare's leg has come from, of where they have these lever-action rifles that are cut down and fit in a holster. Well, that was custom-built for Steve McQueen for this series, Wanted Dead or Alive. And of course, in fiction, he is running the legendary 4570 government rifle cartridge in his little mare's leg. And so, what we're seeing in fiction, you've actually brought into reality, where a feller is running a cartridge that has more energy and more knockdown power than a lot of guys' rifles do.
Well, that's true. That's certainly true.
You've actually done it. You've actually done it. And there's a lot of reasons to do that. There's a lot of body armor. And, for example, in Mexico, a lot of the cartels are uniformed. They have armored vehicles. They wear soft and hard body armor. This is what you can run into out on the, in the field. And the I actually published it on Twitter that the new State Guard got in their first gunfight.
And sure enough, it was up against an armored vehicle. And so they were dealing with sicarios, with dedicated cartel gunmen, dedicated assassins that had probably killed many men. And those guys were taken down, but man, they need to have the proper equipment when they go in to do that. Just like Steve McQueen in Wanted Dead or Alive.
We can help. You know, literally, if you have to do it, we can help.
A lot of people send you their gun, and then it comes straight back from Johnny Roland's 460 Roland Hot Rod Shop, and it's completely tuned, sighted, ready to rock with the 460 Roland cartridge, and you can still go back, just depending on the model and the modifications, you can still shoot 45 ACP. Mine shoots 45 auto just fine.
It's a different cartridge. So what makes higher pressure? About 3 to 4 times the horsepower of a 45 ACP per cartridge. So, but, like shooting a 38 or a 57 Magnum revolver, you can most of the time shoot 45 ACP in our 460 barrel because the head plate are off the extractor. So, even though the cartridge case is a little bit longer, they'll still, most of the time, they'll work just fine. But I use them in my demos. I do it. I mix them together.
Mine works fine. I just shot one across the chronograph, and it was only 805 feet per second when my Johnny's personal carry is running about 1,470 out of my 4.5-inch barrel. They're a little faster out of a 5 and a 6-inch barrel, but even out of my shorty barrel, we're still right up on the threshold of 1,000 foot-pounds of energy, and man, it's just amazing. You know, David Hogan runs the Badlands in another part of Mexico, and he runs a 45-70 lever gun. That's his daily carry. So he's running a flat nose, and this is somebody who knows what they're up against. I want to ask you briefly about Distant Thunder and about My Name is Freedom, a couple of great gospel songs.
Well, I treat freedom as an individual, and it is. This song has been played worldwide a few years ago. It reached number 8 in the national top 10 here in the U.S. And it was by the message. It really, because freedom is under attack everywhere in the world today. And that's really what it's about. That my song, Distant Thunder, that's a song about a call to action for people who want self-determination. We are people of faith. We are. This is a spiritual struggle, good versus evil.
Johnny, let me just read from your lyrics here. This is from Distant Thunder. Let's take back our home. That's what you say.
Yes.
You're encouraging the people of the Americas to be free again, and even in the United States, which has been the beacon of freedom for generations, but if it were still today, then I would be able to live there and hunt deer in the U.S. of A. and not have to be out crawling the woods. You know, it's a little crazy in Mexico. You could be sitting in your deer stand, and up rolls the truck, and the cartel gunmen get out, and a feller might just climb down and say to himself, I'm going to airborne shuffle on out of here. You can become the hunted very quickly. So it's time to take back our home. And then you say, we'll once again have liberty. We'll once again have liberty. And this is my message to the world. And I just want you to hear out there that there's a lot of gospel gunslingers like Johnny Roland, like Pastor Sam, that are willing, that have skin in the game. We're going to take back our liberty.
Well, right now, the United States is using the decline and fall of the Roman Empire study guide.
And collapsing from within.
That's right.
And they want to make it into a race issue, which you cover in My Name is Freedom. Listening to this song, it is about a slave being brought to America, and of course, there's been slavery all through the Americas. People brought, people subjugated right in place, of course. But then you bring forth this concept of freedom. And the concept of freedom is really what's hated. And it's white American Protestants that have brought this. It is the Pilgrim's Sons that have brought into the Americas this idea of freedom. And sure enough, This is what's really hated, is the idea that the Bible shows us how to be free, but we have to take a little bit of personal responsibility, and part of that is taking up the sword. And if you're going to take up the sword, you might as well take up a good one. You know, after David slew Goliath with a stone and without a sword in his hand, he stood upon him, and then he drew his own sword, that mighty sword of the giant Philistine, and cut off his head with it. And then later, if you look in the book of 1 Samuel, David went and got Goliath's sword. When it was time for David to hide out in the wilderness, when he became a refugee, when he fled from the face of Saul, much as I have done, that's when David went in and asked the priest and said, "Do you have any weapons? I don't have a sword, I don't have a spear." And sure enough, right there in the Lord's tabernacle, laid up, wrapped up with the priestly garments, with the ephod, was the sword of Goliath. And David, when he made his stand in the wilderness with his mighty men, with his small band of people that were indebted, people that were dissatisfied, and some other refugees from his own family, they came out there, and there was David in the wilderness wielding the sword of the giant. So we got to be a little bit like that if we're going to take our nations back. And sure enough, just like Benito Juarez, just like Miguel Hidalgo, just like so many heroes of Latin America, like Pancho Villa, David was in the wilderness, and what did he have? A giant's sword. I've gone through, in fact, if you go to Chihuahua, Mexico today, and go to the Casa Luz Villa Corral, a federal installation and a government-owned military museum of the Revolution of Mexico, all the English you will see in that museum was written or corrected by me personally. And in that museum are all the advanced weapons that Pancho Villa used, advanced communications of the day, advanced weapons to include machine guns and the Mondragon automatic rifle, which predates the M1 Garand, if you could believe that, Johnny. The Mondragon was designed and built in Mexico for the 7mm German Mauser cartridge. And then other weapons that Pancho Villa had. He had all the modern weapons of his day, to include the Winchester rifle, which proved excellent for cavalry work. The short, fast-handling Winchester repeater. This is how, in borderland trade, Pancho Villa used his advanced weapons to take it to the Federales. And sure enough, they had a free election, and Francisco I. Madero won with 90% of the vote. It all started right out there in the borderlands where you live, Johnny.
You know, the Lord easily could have told David, "But David, stand back, son. I'm gonna hit that giant with a bolt of lightning." No. David had to go through the motions. He had to do it. He had to demonstrate courage and faith and skill and resolve, as do we.
He had to stand up with a sling and a stone and go out there and face that monster, face that ogre. Okay. And then when he stood up, pretty soon, he was taking over his weapons and armor and took off his head. And this is where we're at today, Johnny. It's where we're at today. The people of the Americas, we're small and we're despised. David said, "I'm lightly esteemed. But if we stand up, then the Lord will help us." And pretty soon, we're going to go out like Pancho Villa with the very best weapons available to confront evil. God willing, God help us. Thanks for coming, Johnny.
Well, thank you, Ben. Real pleasure being with you. Whatever we can do, if someone's interested in one of the Latin American countries, we'd be happy to get our own guns and ammunition in production there. Just contact Sam.
He showed them the entrance into the city. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. Do you want to assault the favela? Do you want to get into the fortified city of the wicked and overthrow it? Well, right here in the Bible are the instructions. We're in Judges 1 and verses 23 to 25. 23, "And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now, the name of the city before was Luz. Descry means to put under surveillance. Today, this would be a scout sniper team observing through the rifle scope and the spotter scope and setting up a listening post. This is what the House of Joseph did to descry the city of Bethel. And once they took the city, this became the House of God, Beth-El, House of God. This became the place where the tabernacle of the Lord was for a long, long time, for generations. You can rebuild your own nation in the same way, and here are the instructions to do it. Verse 24, and the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. So the scout sniper team sees this man come out of the city, and they grabbed him. They grabbed him and they said, we're going to give you one chance. We're going to give you an opportunity to save yourself. And you know what happened to this guy? If you read on, it tells how he went to the land of the Hittites and built the city and called the city Luz after the city that the Lord's people destroyed. He founded his own city, and this man got to be the father of a great nation because he came along with the Lord's people. And this is how he won the opportunity to live and to do that. Verse 25. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Listen to your pastor, armies of the living God. No matter what you do, they will call it a guerra sucia. You will be maligned. You will be accused. You will be reviled, just as the Lord Jesus was. But this is the mercy of God, not to let the whole heathen city continue on, but to let the turncoat, to let the informant, to let the person who shows the weakness of the favela to live. You can extend grace to him and his family. This is the scarlet cord of Rahab the harlot, who released the spies with peace. And Hebrews says that Rahab the harlot was justified by works when she did that. When she showed kindness to another scout sniper team who had gone to descry, that is, surveil Jericho.
My name is Maria.
And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Thank you, God, for preserving your king. President Bolsonaro, you, like David the king, are in the midst of a desperate attempt to rescue your nation from a mortal peril. Entre espada y pared. May the Lord preserve you as he preserved David, who two different times had to flee his capital city and fight a similar resistance in order to maintain his Christian nation, his godly nation. And that was after taking power not only in Hebron, but in Jerusalem. Before that, there was a Neophyte phase where revolution was embryonic. And in that fledgling phase, David fled with his mighty men into the wilderness, into strongholds where he and his few hundred men, he bearing the giant's sword, made a stand for righteousness in the little strength that they had, much like Brother Sam in cartel country. Let's see, let's study how God preserved David and how his hand guided him. You don't just write Psalm 91 on your bumper sticker. You don't just put it on a uniform patch and slap it on. You don't write it. Definitely don't tattoo it on yourself. I know some of you out there already did. Well, now you can turn to God with the heart and not with the flesh and see how God guided David and what he did as king. Because right here we are, this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day in 2 Samuel 8, verse 6 and 14. Two different times the Lord preserves David whithersoever he goes. And what did David do? He built garrisons, just like Andres Manuel has done in all of Mexico. He founded the new Guardia Nacional, and he builds their own garrisons in every place where they go. And the establishment of those garrisons is both times in both of these verses where the Lord is protecting David. Let's look. Verse 6. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And then in verse 14, and he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom put he garrisons. And all they of Edom became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. He'll do the same for you if you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you assault the favela, and after subjugating it, build a garrison right on top of it. If you covenant, bajo jurado, not to let the traitors go once the Lord puts them in your hand. And if you're bold to stand in the strength that you have, it may only be 5 smooth stones right now, but the moment you can, get a hold of a giant sword. I recommend the 460 Roland.
China was all over the place. Just me and my sidearm. And I had no other alternative but to blast my way out. Said winner for pain alive. Bam! I saw what you did to my friend. Bam!
Major!
Bam!
Major! Major!
Bam!
Sage advice from Damon Wayans as Major Payne. Come visit me on GospelGunslingers.com and keep on living by the sword. Over and out.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.